you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi, I'm Paco Romain, and you're listening to SupDoc, a show where we discuss and dissect documentaries chosen by our guests from the worlds of comedy, film, television, and more. And today we are doing a special format, a crossover episode with our friends from the Film Drunk Frotcast. Vince Mancini is a writer for Film Drunk and has been a guest on SupDoc before. Matt Lieb is a comedian and writer for Newsbroke, and he was actually our very first guest on SupDoc. This is a fun and loose conversation. We review a few docs like Lance Oppenheim's debut documentary, Some Kind of Heaven, the Tiger Woods docuseries on HBO, and Derek LaGuardia's In and of Itself, as well as look at some of the Golden Globe nominations. And now, here's Vince and Matt.
Going on, you're listening to the Film Drunk Frotcast, coming at you, not live, from a series of Zoom studios all over the nation. I'm Vince Mancini, and I'm here with my partner, the irregular regular, Mr. Matt Lieb.
This is ground control to Major Lum. You really lum my bum. And it's tasting in a most disgusting way. Hey, what's up, everybody?
I let you Welcome. Love the taste of bum.
Well, like, not all of them are good. That's why it's a song.
Oh, okay.
All they right. can't all be about how eating butt is good.
Well,
dude.
Right. You don't write the songs about, like, the normal everyday things. You write,
exactly.
about the outliers.
You write about the outliers. That's how it works. Very excited to be here, Vince. Very, very excited. What an amazing time to talk about movies.
The best time. Yeah, no, the best time we've ever had. We got the Golden Globes. I just finished Sundance from my couch. I love it. Mm. But and you know what else? We're doing a crossover episode.
No way, bro.
Dude, ooh. I didn't tell you before now. I'm sorry.
Dude, I was wondering who these two random dudes on the Zoom were. I was like, damn, we got new producers? What?
Yeah, why don't you... Oh, you want me to do it?
I'll introduce them.
Yeah,
I thought the bit was I didn't know them. That
oh,
was like
yeah,
a
no.
whole bit.
I'm not very consistent with my bits.
No. Our guest today from the SupDoc podcast, where they review documentaries, we've got George Chen and Paco Romain. What's up, boys?
What's up?
Hey. Hey, hey.
We're going to sup ourselves on some docs.
Yeah, we're gonna sup some dick. You know what I mean?
You didn't even,
do you know what I mean?
Go 5 seconds.
Do you know? Do you know what I mean though?
Yeah,
when I say sup some dick.
Yeah. Do you know? Speaking of,
what do I mean
people,
then?
Okay, you're still going.
What do I mean?
I don't just about dick.
Sup some dick. What? What does
What's
it mean,
up?
Dude?
Vince, I had a real question.
It
for
means
you.
Suck dick. All right, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was unclear. Can anyone go to the Sundance screenings?
Yeah, I was
Are
wondering
they
that
free?
Too.
Anyone, I was trying to register and figure out if I could watch anything.
Anyone could. They're not free. Like if you wanted
to,
like you could have gotten press access back in like I don't know.
You could have gotten press access.
Early
I don't
January.
Think we mm-hmm. could have gotten press. Access.
I bet you guys could have.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sure you could.
It's been interesting. Oh, so yeah, speaking of random people on like being in your Zoom window,
I saw this. You've had an interesting week of weird Zooms, bro.
Weird week, super weird week. So I got to interview Salma Hayek via Zoom, which is very strange.
Hell yeah.
Very
Hell
cool.
Yeah, dude.
Very nice. Strange. So
did you record it? Is there a Frotcast version of it that's gonna come out?
I mean, if you want, I don't know. Yeah, sure.
Dude, there should be. You know, you understand that, like, people, they crave this content, the celebrity content.
Come on. They love to hear me being flustered and asking, like, windy questions.
Yeah, you're good at that.
Yeah. No, so this is my second Zoom junket, which is kind of a weird thing where you, like, go into, like, a main hospitality room, and then there's like a bunch of other people there that you don't recognize, and then there's like always three more publicists than you're expecting, and and it's very elaborate. So yeah, so like I went in there, interviewed the director of her movie, and then I interviewed Salma Hayek, and then they shot me back into the hospitality room, and and one of the faces in the little squares was fucking Marc Maron from WTF. And it was, yeah, there was just like no warning, and I'm just shot back into the Zoom room, and I'm like, oh shit.
So he's hanging out in like a Zoom green room with Marc Maron, and
yeah, just bullshitting with the other guys, you know.
Well, yeah, we're sitting around. Did he just go, so who's everyone's guys?
Yeah. What'd your old man do?
Yeah, he didn't get to ask me who my guys were. We didn't swap any Lauren stories.
Oh damn.
And
who
I'm
are
a
you guys.
Yeah, I'm a pussy, so I had my little slider.
I saw it was all muted. It was all fucking just blacked out.
I had my shit blacked out because I don't like to just have my face in a group. I don't like to be surprised in a group of random people. So then,
yeah.
But the beard's looking so nice.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're looking good, dude.
And then
yeah,
just before I left, like after, I forgot. This was like before I went in to interview Salma Hayek because we were all waiting. Mm-hmm. And then I came back into the Zoom and he's still there. And then my camera was on, and like, you know how you click close on the Zoom window, and then there's like the pop-up window that says, do you really want to leave the meeting? So yeah, like just before I did the second step of leaving the meeting, I heard Marc Maron ask the publicist, who's this guy?
What's Dude, his deal?
You should have done a tube in on him. You should have just straight up started
on Bobo.
Start honking on Bobo, dude. Like, I mean, it's not the first time he's seen it. I mean, he's interviewed Louis C.K. It wouldn't be weird for him.
Sure.
It'd be like, oh, this again. Oh, man, you missed a real opportunity to honk on Bobo.
I know.
And then you would have been in the first 7 minutes of a What the Fuck episode, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone listens to
He would have complained
yeah
about his dead cat for a while. He would have, like, you know, talked about Sherry's Berries, and then he would have talked about Vince Mancini honking on Bobo. It just feels like it would have worked.
I told you about my Tumblr idea, right? Back when Tumblr was a thing. I was going to do, you know how they had, like, Tumblrs that were just very specific single topic blogs? And it was just going to be, like, what time does the interview start .tumblr.com, where like every WTF episode, like I go in and I figure out at which point Mark stops talking about like his cat and fucking Sherry's Berries and the interview starts, and just write the timestamp in there.
That's a great awesome idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like kind of like when you go into a YouTube video that has a thumbnail that's like something you want to hear, and then you go into the comment section and it says video starts at 2:36, and you're like, oh,
right,
thank you.
Preamble. Yeah.
Yeah. Because yeah, like all, you know, every YouTube video is now 2 minutes of NordVPN plugs, and then, right, and then a topic that you're like, I don't even remember why I clicked this. This is weird.
My YouTube sidebar is like a bunch of chess games now. Like it's like stuff about conspiracy theories and chess games. Because I
did
started
you,
trying to watch what, chess videos and like
oh
learn
my God
chess stuff.
Why? Because like, of Queen's Gambit?
Yeah, but I used to play chess, but like now we have a real chess set, and me and Angie just play chess all the time. It's like it's gotten very competitive.
Oh wow.
Like, we'll like play individually against bots and then sit there and play each other. But like I just like get owned by the chess bots all the time. I'm like not really getting better at all at playing chess, but in my mind, it's still just like, I'm like obsessed with like, I'm just
like, what I'll, if like, I get good?
I'll just have like a work conversation. I'll be thinking about like, what if my knight moved here on the screen or whatever, you know, it's just like,
damn, you're L-shapes. You are kind of Queen's
I'm
gambiting.
All L shapes. I'm like, but like in a way, it's not, I'm not succeeding at anything. I'm
it's
just
as,
thinking
it's
about
as,
the moves.
It's as if,
He stares at the ceiling and it's just solitaire.
Yeah, right. Just like insane. It's a chessboard, but it's all knights, and you're just like, hmm.
It's and now it's just Derek Del Gaudio. It's just like a brick disappearing.
Oh man, well,
Paco's not seen that yet, so I think you guys already saw it and talked about it. But Paco, you know, all we know is our friend who's a magician says it's a masterpiece, which is like that's what a magician would say, I guess.
So I don't know if you guys followed Vince's recent spat with Derek Del Gaudio, but
no, did you have a Twitter fight with him?
I mean, in the back of my mind. In the back of my mind, like whenever I write a review, you know, there is some thought that like the person I'm talking shit on might read it, you know, and I try to put that out of my mind whenever I'm writing it. And and I say that even having gotten like angry DMs from like Jonah Hill and other things, but like
that was one of my favorites.
Whoa, I don't know that story. Yeah.
But yeah, so this one, you know, like I didn't hate in and of itself. I just thought it was you know, an interesting bullshit combination of things in general.
Right.
And I, you know, I found it interesting enough to want to write about it. And so anyway, all the tweet said, it was funny because like the tweet said. And it didn't even come from me. It came from like the UpRocks TV account. And the headline was just, is in and of itself the Nanette of comedy. And
the Nanette of magic or something?
Yeah, the Nanette of magic. Yeah, I'm dumb. Which
what
was
is
Matt's,
the Nanette of comedy? It's
which,
Nanette.
Yeah, it's Nanette. Which that was actually Matt's observation that I stole from the headline. But fair, and then fair. And then I saw which later is, I,
yeah.
later I saw that Derek Del Gaudio had quote tweeted it and just wrote no. And then, Frank Oz, like the Muppet guy who directed his comedy special, had like responded and was like, definitely not. And it was funny because like they were up in arms about being compared to like a critically acclaimed comedy special, which I actually like a lot better than fucking In and of Itself. And
it was literally, you said to me, like, I it's weird that they're mad at this part because this is literally comparing it to Nanette is the nicest the thing
favorable.
I say about
it's very
it.
Favorable. Yeah. Do you think Frank Oz was running the puppet in the back?
yeah. Bullshit this is.
Yoda. No, so like, one of the reasons that I got in the mix, well, number one is because I love to white knight for Vince. Because Vince, people just get mad at Vince all the time because, you know, he's a guy who has opinions about movies. And people who have opinions about movies are always being attacked by other people who have opinions about movies. And so I like to white knight for him. But one of the big reasons is because specifically... you know, ask the question, is this the Nanette of magic? And because they were so
which was a cowardly it was a cowardly headline with a question mark at the end, by the way, which I hate and did anyway.
Right. But I mean, it's also like, you know, whatever. I looked at it and I said, this is a great headline because I think it's a really good point. And just the immediate no of it, I was like, what the fuck? So I wrote to him saying,
she worked
like,
to Frank
well,
Oz or Del Gaudio.
Till Del Gaudio, I said, well, yeah, but it kind of is, though. I mean, let's be real. Like, and that's, you can take that as an insult if you want to, but I mean, it is, it's a magic show that's trying to be like, you know, it's basically trying to be a non-magic show, and that's part of the magic. Like, it's supposed to be more than a magic show, and and that's kind of what Nanette is. Nanette is her being vulnerable and talking specifically about not wanting to do comedy anymore. It's like this meta aspect to it, and I was like, that's basically what you're doing. And he got very mad at this perspective, and he started saying, it's not a magic show, all right? This show isn't about me.
Oh, okay, that's the part. That's the part that, well, that I was going to say.
But he said it isn't about him. How the fuck is that not about him? All he does is going, when I was a child, my mother was a lesbian.
Well, that's the part that I find.
Fun of me.
Yeah. That's the part I find weird is like, it's not Nanette. It's like not about trauma that really happened to him, even though he's sort of like secondarily part of the trauma. But it's like the hate crime was directed at his mom and not at him, really. I mean, he's bullied maybe, but like,
I mean, yeah. And it's like, that's fair for it to be like, it's a one man show magic show. It is a magic show. It ends.
Yeah, there's lots of magic in it. There's more magic than Spalding Gray does, basically.
There's way more magic in this than there's ever been in any documentary. Okay.
Also, the only good parts were magic, let's be fair. And,
yeah.
And by the way, like when we compare it to Nanette, Hannah Gadsby was very specific about like why she might not want to do comedy anymore, and it would like came from a personal place, and like I got an idea of who she was. It was like her critique of comedy and comedy audiences was very pointed and very like well taken, whereas the whole problem with In and of Itself is I have no idea like why he's complaining about having to do magic, but he's very upset about it for some reason.
I mean, it's like the whole thing to me seemed like, okay, so what you're upset about in this is that you are more than a magician and people want to put you this label on you because you're like, yes, I am the Rulettista, but I'm also a son. And you're also an entomologist. And you're also Bill Gates for some reason. And you're W. Kamau Bell.
And Marina like, Abramovich.
Yeah. And I'm just kind of like, you know, I'm spoilers. Like, this is, sorry. But it is a magic show. You are expressly stating that this is a magic show. I am doing magic, but I'm more than this. And my story is more than this.
It's a magic show, Paco. In case when you watch it, you're going to be expecting a magic show.
I don't think I'm going to watch it.
I mean, you have to. It's like,
you
kind of
need to.
It's like, yeah, Nanette, you have to watch it.
It's classic, like, oh man, you have to watch this to see if you hate it as much as I did, kind of.
Like
thing.
Southland Tales or something. Yeah.
But the funny thing was, is the motherfucker, and this is when I knew, I was like, oh, he and I would never hang out. Is when he said it's as much about magics as Duchamp's fountain urinal. And
yeah, it is.
And it was like,
it is a urinal.
But that's what I said. I told him, I was like, yeah, but bro, that's like literally a urinal. Like, I get that it's not a urinal, quote unquote.
I feel like you've missed the point of Dadaism.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't believe it. And then when I said, no, but you understand that's like, that is a urinal, right? Like, that is literally a urinal. And he said, I guess we have nothing to talk about. And I was like, this fucking guy. It's like, if you think that's a urinal, then you don't get my shit. And it's like, bro, that is a urinal, and you can't fucking, like, I understand that it's cool that it's not a urinal, like, and that you're
the coolness is that you called it not a urinal, and then you can see it in another way, which, cool, well,
fine,
well done.
It's fair. I get your fucking magic show is more than a urinal, but if someone sees that urinal and pisses on it, you can't be like, what the fuck, dude?
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was writing his name on a urinal.
was writing a name on a urinal and asking people not to piss on it. It's just like, to me, I couldn't believe that the dude would be such an art prick about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like not having the self-awareness to know how you're coming off when you're like, basically what I'm doing is Dadaism, and if you don't get that, you're lame. And
or
I'm
like not getting the basic premise of Dadaism, which is that art is supposed to be playful and fun. Like,
right,
that's
right.
Like the fucking basis of it.
It's the saddest magic show I've ever seen. It's definitely the only magic show where the guy performing is crying. You know? Yeah. I mean, I don't know how he did a lot. I mean, like, I don't know how he pulled a lot of the stuff off. But...
Yeah, me too.
Well, that was the thing. It was like he took good magic and then imbued it with like performative group therapy, and it made me like retroactively dislike like amazing magic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's...
Speaking of, to bring Marc Maron back into this, like when I told Joe about this, he was like, oh yeah, that reminds me of how I heard Marc Maron describe his reaction at the end of every card trick, which is, okay, can I go now?
Card tricks are like, so we've been we went to the Magic Castle like a couple times, and we have a friend who's been on our show on SupTalk, Andy Diemer, who is a magician, who's like a guy who's done all this other weird shit, like produced this movie Poltergeist with Troma and stuff like that, but then he became a magician in the last like 4 or 5 years since he moved to LA and hung out at the Magic Castle. And so you go in these little side rooms of the Magic Castle, and there's like a thing about card tricks where like we just don't think about cards as much as they do. So it's just like inherently amazing to them. And we have to like think about the fact, Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are all in the same suit.
I actually,
that is impressive. Yeah.
I find the card tricks more impressive than the other kinds just because, mm-hmm. like, the sleight of hand of it is sort of more transparent where it's like, okay, I can kind of see how he did that, but that's, like, the impressive part is that he can,
yeah,
like,
the
hold...
impressive part is that the skill to do sleight of hand, like,
yes,
mm-hmm. and also like the misdirection too, where you're wondering if something is sleight of hand or if there's something else, like it's you trying to kind of figure out how they did it, and that's kind of like the wonder of it, is to go like, I don't know how they did it, and it makes it interesting and fun, whereas like some of the other ones, like at the very end where he guesses, is this your card for the whole audience? But instead yeah. of it being like a suit card, it's like, did you pick the I am an entomologist card?
Yeah, did you go to Cafe Gratitude or whatever?
Yeah, yeah, right.
The
yeah.
Cafe Gratitude yeah. part of the show.
Yeah. Like
I am grateful.
Like while it's impressive, like I can't help but be like, they're plants, they're audience plants. I
right.
mean, half of them are.
Because how could it not be? Like, that's the only.
Yeah. And then you go.
And
like,
I never,
well,
I didn't think that until I got really emotional. Like, when it was happening, I was like,
yeah.
Whoa, dude. How did he do that? And then, like, the more emotional I got, the more I was like, oh, well, obviously. Now, like, now I can tell that it was all bullshit.
Maybe that's
Paco,
why
you don't have to watch it, Paco.
I'm not going to.
we've laid it all out for him why he doesn't.
Well, maybe
need to
that's
watch
why
this
he says it's not a magic show, is because he's like, well, no, those are plants at the end. They agreed to come and say that I guess their card right if I gave them a little bit of adrenochrome, and you know, they went for it.
How old is this guy?
I think
I don't know. He looks like he's in his 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He maybe 40.
Little bro-ish.
Did he have a little school shooter vibe to you when I first started watching it? I kind of was like, yeah. What is going on with this?
I said he looked like Adam Richman from Man vs. Food meets Seth MacFarlane. So he's got like, I don't know. He's kind of got the, yeah, he's youngish, like clean. I don't know.
Deadpan, yeah. Very deadpan. Yeah. Yeah.
He's got, it's, he's doing like, it's like, he's got a Mike Birbiglia vibe, you know, and it's like, you don't
That's
entirely
rude
hate
to
it.
Mike Birbiglia.
I would like Mike Birbiglia to just have magic in his one man shows now. I think that's the next step. Just integrate magic into other one man shows.
Let's be honest. He was doing Birbiglia, like that was his storytelling style, was Birbiglia without the jokes. That's what he was doing.
Without the jokes.
yeah, but that's, yeah.
And,
God.
That's, you know, like, oh yeah, he's like Mario Andretti without the race car driver.
You know,
like,
I thought
right,
of,
okay.
Did you guys watch the thing I thought of after watching this, thinking about it a little bit more, did you guys watch the Golden One, the Whitmer Thomas special on HBO?
No.
Because it's kind of, I thought it was just going to be a stand-up special, and it kind of does a similar thing,
yes,
of like integrating like kind of documentary memoir stuff about his mom. Apparently his mom had passed away, and like she had been in this band, and he was, yeah, performing at the venue they used to play at, and brought in all this stuff from his whole childhood. And it's just,
right,
like this weird thing of like someone who's like turning 30 being like, I gotta think about my past. It's like, you're only 30, but
is
it was
Winter
really
Thomas only 30.
I think when he made this thing he might have only been 30. Yeah. It's actually very good, and I think it's like a much better,
no, I've heard it's great,
way to
it's
like
great,
pay tribute to your family in a weird way than, mm-hmm, this about like,
right,
so this thing happened to my mom, and then I was really traumatized by my mom being happy with a woman, you know. It was like a little bit,
yeah,
of an odd direction. Okay, so since Paco hasn't seen it, we should probably talk about something,
sure,
else that,
yeah,
we've definitely all seen.
I was gonna say,
now that we've spent the last hour talking about this,
well,
I don't know why we would change direction now.
I mean,
I'm just seeing him starting to lean back in his chair, and it's just like,
yeah,
there's this half-naked girl across the street from me I've just been watching. It's been fun.
Oh, that sounds,
that's sick,
very,
dude,
Hitchcockian of you. Very Hitchcock.
Let us see it, dude. Well, share the wealth.
I could try. Anyways,
yeah,
let's talk about... Well, here's a doc that none of you have seen.
Well, yeah, yeah.
No, speaking of movies that we have or maybe have not seen, did you guys see the Golden Globe nominations for...
No, I'm looking at it right now.
No. I
Who's
didn't. I saw on Twitter there was a list of things that were snubs, which I always feel bad about, because it's like, what if you're like someone who is like a producer on it, or you're the star, and you go on Twitter and you see like it's trending, and you're like, yes, and then it's like, snub, fuck you, that sucks. But,
The main snub I've heard people talk about is that I May Destroy You didn't get nominated for anything.
Yeah, that one is actually disappointing. I mean, I saw some people complaining about that, which I think is totally warranted. But then they were also lumping it in with like, ooh, Da Five Bloods didn't get nominated. And I was like, first of all, Da Five Bloods
I feel like
sucks.
I'm insane.
It was so bad. I didn't insane? Finish it. I did not finish that movie. It was so
bad. Am I insane? That movie fucking sucked ass. I do not so understand bad. How people are like, man, how could you do that to the Five it Bloods? It's like, did you watch so the Five bad. Bloods?
Because the last Chadwick scroll, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, it's
like as bad. Soon I was enjoying it for a little bit, and then they did the flashback, and they're all still old. And in Vietnam, and I was just like, wait, no, they can't, this is, they can't do it like this. But they're like, we are doing it like this. It was awful.
It was hard to follow, horribly acted. The writing was subpar, and it has a number in the title, which is one of my biggest pet peeves.
He hates numbers.
I hate numbers and titles. Of
you hate
things.
Seven of all the movies.
I
yeah.
hate seven, 69.
What about Too
You're
Fast,
Too Furious?
You're
a hardcore New York Times style guy, Stan. And you will,
I am. Yeah. Hey, yeah, dude. Chicago Manual style of guy. That's me. That's
spell
me
it out. Spell
end.
It out.
Was Mank in the Golden
Mank
Globe
is nominated, yeah.
Dude. All
right.
Mank is a goddamn masterpiece compared to a lot of movies that they...
That's true. Yeah. That's true. But, I mean, it not getting a Golden Globe... I'm okay with for the rest of the history of time, any Hollywood movie about Hollywood movies... doesn't get an award because mm-hmm. I think that's fair.
No, that's award, what they know. They're good at those movies.
The award is that you made a movie about a movie. That's that's how you give awards to other movies. Just ugh. I'm sorry.
All right. So the nominations, best television series. You guys can
I'm looking them up.
You can express your approval or disapproval in grunt or yell form. Best television series, musical comedy, Emily in Paris.
How's musical?
Which is fucking terrible. Flight Attendant.
What? I don't even know that one.
I watched it.
The Great, which is fucking awesome.
Okay.
Schitt's Creek.
Oh, that's sick.
Ted Lasso.
I just started watching Schitt's Creek, and I'm like... Oh, this show does rule. I very much so enjoy it.
Daniel's amazing.
Yeah, Daniel Levy is like one of the funniest facial fucking expressions I've ever seen. I'm constantly impressed by his faces, and I'm like, this is genius.
Entirely genius ensemble cast.
Yes.
I don't care about that. I don't care about TV acting, to be honest.
I kind of care. Can you read the list? All right.
Best actor in a television series drama, Jason Bateman for Ozark.
I guess I don't care.
Josh O'Connor for The Crown.
Yeah.
Bob Odenkirk, Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Al Pacino for Hunters.
What?
Never even heard of that.
The Jewish, the Nazi, they hunt Nazis.
Wait, is that bad. Out?
Yeah. It's on Amazon Prime, so you may have skipped it.
It's not good.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know immediately. As soon as it's on Amazon Prime, it's like there's a 98% chance it's going to suck.
It's just Al Pacino looking around going like, he's a Nazi. It's the entire show. Yeah.
If it's called Hunter and Fred Dreyer's not there, I'm not interested.
Oh, yeah. That's my Hunter.
Not my Hunter. With it.
Did you say Ted Lasso was nominated?
Yeah.
For what?
I hated that
what?
Show.
What? No.
You're the only person who's ever said anything bad about Ted Lasso that I've heard.
Ted Lasso.
Jason Sudeikis' show?
The show is called Ted Lasso?
It's Jason Sudeikis, yeah.
No, I've never heard of it.
It's so bad.
No,
dude.
It's bad. It's on Apple. On paper, it's like terrible Disney trash, but in practice, like I fucking binge the whole thing in like a day.
It was like watching Andy Griffith like come back as some... dweeb that I hate. I don't. It's couldn't stand it.
I thought Jason Sudeikis was a delight. Best performance by an actress in a limited. I don't care about that one. Best director, motion picture. Emerald Fennell, Promising Young Woman. David Fincher, Mank.
Yes.
Regina King for One Night in Miami, proving that it's really impressive when you stick four people in a drab hotel room for two fucking hours.
It's a good movie.
It's
Vince.
Terrible. It's so boring.
Good.
Oh,
it's very good and fun. And I love Twitter discourse and I want a whole movie about it.
I had such a hard time getting through that one. Aaron Sorkin for The Trial of the Chicago 7. and Chloe Zhao for Nomadland.
Yeah, I don't know Promising Young Woman or No Man's Land.
They got a couple good ones in here, like Best Actress in a Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy. They nominated Maria Bacalova for Borat 2, which
that's smart.
Good call.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
They she nominated for Kate Hudson for Music, which I don't think anybody has actually seen, have they?
No idea.
Mm-mm.
I think that's
That's a show?
It's a movie. I think that's the movie in which Sia plays like an autistic person that...
Oh, yeah. I didn't see it, but there was... Oh, my God. Did people get mad? Proving once and for all that you just cannot make anything about autistic people without a bunch of autistic people getting mad. It's just part of it. And here's the thing.
It's awesome.
Who a white knight for Matt?
I mean, I don't fuck with it. I don't say shit about autistic people online because also it's a wide spectrum. You know, you can't just say autistic people. Mm-hmm. But there are autistic people online who are very into being mad at people for whatever reason. And it's like, and they're always openly autistic. All right, I'm going to stop talking about it.
Openly autistic.
Well, what I mean is they make it a part of their identity. I don't want you to be in the closet with your autism, but it's always like they'll say something like, and it'll be very hostile. And then you'll be like, what's your problem? And they'll be like, I'm autistic. And you're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
anytime someone says yells I'm autistic online, I go okay, I know that I'm not gonna argue with you over literally anything because I just don't have time.
Yeah. Should we just say time. Neurodivergent? Is that more?
Oh, neurodivergent is usually what they say.
That's usually what they would say.
Neuroatypical. Yeah.
And I knew as soon as like this idea came out, like about like it's about an autistic musician. I was like, nah, Sia, this ain't the 90s.
Yeah.
You can't
see
just,
ya later.
Oh,
see
wasn't that Shine? Didn't they already do that with Shine?
You can't remake Rush, Shine. Yeah. You know, at this point, especially if they're autistic, you're gonna get yelled at by the autistic.
They
community.
Did that with the fashion designer in Phantom Thread.
Oh, really?
Oh,
I mean, he wasn't like he wasn't specifically autistic.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You know, if you're gonna make them autistic, don't say autistic. Just
you know who
them...
was though?
Who?
Ben Affleck in The Accountant.
Oh, that's right. He was autistic.
Fucking fantastic movie.
But did anyone get mad about never that? Because it wasn't a. They probably didn't because it wasn't called the Autistic Accountant. It was just called The Accountant.
The Neurodivergent Accountant.
Autistic Accountant sounds like a horrible Disney movie from the 70s.
Neurodivergent is a great YA series.
The Neurodivergent. Oh, boy. Jodie Comer for Killing Eve. I think she's real good. Olivia Colman for The Crown. I'm down with one.
She's great.
Sarah Paulson and Ratched. I didn't get very far with Ratched. Did
oh,
you guys
Ratched
watch
is
Ratched?
Garbage, dude.
It's
Ratched
pretty bad.
Is garbage. Mostly
isn't
because...
Isn't that gnarly. One of Ryan Murphy's like 12 shows?
Yeah, yes, it's a Ryan Murphy show.
It is. Honestly, that dude literally needs to fucking stop. Like that, I can't think of anyone else in Hollywood who I'm like, you're actively taking jobs from people. Like at this point, you're just collecting work so that there will be scarcity. You're the worst type of person. And also, all of his shows, except for Pose, all of them suck, except for Pose. That show's good.
I can't weigh in because I've only seen like 2 out of 20 of them.
Well, I saw a little bit of Nurse Ratched, and I didn't like Glee. So all of his shows suck. And I also never seen any of those American Horror Story ones.
The impressive thing about this year's Golden Globes is that, you know, last year was mostly streaming releases that everyone could watch. And still, they managed to nominate like 10 different things that nobody has seen yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there's Michelle Pfeiffer in French Exit. Don't know what that is. Rosamund Pike.
The butt. The butt.
In I Care a Lot.
The butt is the French Exit.
Never heard of that. That's the French Entrance.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that's true. No, I think the French Entrance is the mouth. That's what French kissing is.
Sure.
But the French exit is the butt.
La bouche.
The butt is the Greek entrance.
Yeah, the butt is the Greek entrance. That's right.
But there's like, there's like The Father, that's not out yet. The Mauritanian, that's not out yet. Mm-hmm. Nomadland still isn't out. I saw it because I had a screener. But like, these movies are not out yet. What the fuck? It's fucking February of 2021 already.
Yeah, but I guarantee you the way the fucking, you know, Academy or whatever the fuck they have at the Golden Globes, the globalists, I bet that they got all of their screeners at once. And just crammed, you know, like they just were like, let's just watch all the movies. And they got to ones that actually hadn't come out yet. And they were like, yeah, that one's really good. You know,
does Golden Globes have a documentary category? I don't think they do. Right. I don't think I saw a documentary.
Do they not?
Here.
That's strange.
I'm looking here. They have comedy.
No, it doesn't. No, I don't think they
do. Acting. They don't do documentary. Yeah.
No,
nope. Didn't think so.
They hate
so
it.
The thing that I care about the most.
Matt, your favorite person got nominated too.
Laura Linney?
Yeah.
Do you hate Laura Linney? I don't know this about you.
I just can't with her. There's just something about her. Ugh. She just seems like she'd yell at me if I was like hanging out at her house with her kid, like, and I'm also a kid. And then like I fucking, you know, I sit on the wrong chair. Mm. And she'd be like, no, that's Bobo's chair. And Bobo's like their dog. And like, I'd be like, why am I always getting yelled at by fucking Miss Linney?
Yeah, like, she's sort of like the waspier Renee Zellweger or something.
See, I always think of her as shitty white bread Julianne Moore.
Mm. That's, yeah. And here's the
Wonder
thing.
Bread
that's,
Julianne Moore.
It's
yeah.
not at all I do think she's a very good actress. I think she's a skilled actress. She's good. I've seen her in multiple things. And like part of me thinks that's why I don't like her, is because I've just seen her in one too many roles where I'm just like, I can't stand this character, that it turns into like, I can't stand Laura Linney. But, you know, maybe if we hung out, like, she'd probably be chill.
I think it'll happen after this podcast.
Yeah, after
for
this,
sure.
Yeah. Laura, if you're listening to this, it's not you, it's me. But there's just something about you that I can't stand. I detest.
I'm trying to think if there's anything I would have put on this list that didn't get nominated.
Well, I'll say this. They nominated Andy Samberg from Palm Springs.
Oh, yeah.
Not a bad thing, but how do you not nominate Kristen Milioti?
Yeah, she was so much better than him.
Yeah, she really crushed it. Yeah.
That's a pretty good... I liked that movie okay.
I liked it a lot. Yeah.
Post Groundhog Day.
Groundhog's Day too.
It pisses me off that everybody's complaining about Defy of Bloods and One Night in Miami, which are like bad sixth grade fan fiction bullshit.
But
and
One
not,
Night in Miami
not a,
got
not a single
nominated.
Person complains about Sylvie's Love, which is like much better than either of those two. I don't get it.
I have no idea. Someone... I have no idea what that is. And,
did anyone watch Trial Chicago 7?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Order, like order on the podcast. Order, or there will be order on this podcast.
The best part of that show are the wigs. That it was horrible. Yeah.
Like the more the you know part, about the actual yeah. trial, the worse the movie gets.
Yes. Yeah. There you go.
So I watched the thing. Brent Morgan did a animated, or he did a documentary about it, and he had voice actors recreating scenes with like animations and stuff.
Yeah.
I forget the name of that one. Chicago 10 or something like that. Yeah.
I'm just saying, is Sacha Baron Cohen the only British actor who cannot sustain an American accent? He's got to be.
Well, what's
every other British actor, you don't know they're British until you see them interviewed in a press junket. You're like,
yeah,
oh fuck, that
true.
Dude's British, like Matthew Rhys or something, right? Like
yeah.
we're just like,
oh
yeah. fuck.
No
I
idea.
Had no idea, you know, yeah. or like the
Damian Lewis, like, classic,
yeah,
very
yeah,
good
yeah.
American accents, or just Hugh Laurie,
yeah, Hugh Laurie, obviously, and you know, fucking, what's that fucking the guy from Get Out?
Daniel
Kaluuya,
yeah,
that's his,
he's incredible.
You have no idea, but fucking this dude, Sacha Baron Cohen, so talented in every other way, but he tries to sustain a fucking accent, an American accent, and I'm just like, stop, just don't, just, you can't.
Well,
it's just, it's bad.
There's another one. Well, Chris Hemsworth, have you ever seen Chris Hemsworth do an American accent?
No, I've not. What has he tried to do it
in? It's weird. He's all over the place.
Did you guys watch? Yeah.
It's John Wayne meets fucking, I don't know.
It always comes off sounding a slightly Scandinavian for some reason.
Yeah.
When they do it, because they flatten everything, so it sounds kind of Scandinavian.
Yeah. I think it makes sense, because like Australian is so close to American that it is hard. Like it's very, all the differences are so subtle that it's difficult.
Did you guys see The Undoing? Because there's like some peak moments where Nicole Kidman completely drops and like, well, I guess that was the only take they got. She really let it go. She really, she only called someone a bogan at one point. I don't know.
I also like, I know we've established a rule that you're like not allowed to criticize actors for their looks, but like Nicole Kidman, like her face doesn't move. It looked like she looks like a catcher's mitt with like big lips on it. And like that is a problem sometimes in acting. It fit the character in The Undoing very well, but like her face doesn't move, and it's hard to get past sometimes.
It's not just that though. It's also so she is compensating by letting her eyes do a lot of the acting, and so it ends up being just a lot of like wide eyes with like welling with tears. And she has like all of her acting depends on how bloodshot her eyes are in the moment, and I'm like, this seems untenable, you know, as an actor.
Also, I think she would look great if she never got any stuff done, because isn't her and Tandy Newton are like the same age, right? Tandy Newton looks great.
Is that right?
Well,
they were like in a show. Okay, well, there might be other reasons for that, but
I mean,
but yeah,
you've heard
the
expression
age.
"Black don't crack."
Yes,
right?
I have heard that. Yeah, no, I've also seen Tandy Newton in real life because I was an extra in Westworld, and so
were an extra in Westworld.
In season two, I was one of the Asian robots. Yeah.
Oh, you show your dick?
I'm barely on screen at all.
But did you see your dick though?
No, no. I had to wear weird pants. I couldn't even get to my dick because when I had to go to the bathroom, it was like a whole thing to take this weird kimono off.
I bet. What is the SAG rate like? Is it a new?
It wasn't SAG.
If you show your dick though, extra. I guarantee you would automatically become SAG.
Sure, yes, you would have to.
They can see your dick.
But if it wasn't in the script and I just pulled it out, I would not have been on there for the.
If they used it, yeah, absolutely would have done it. Yes, it's SAG as soon as you pull your dick out and they don't put it on the cutting room floor.
Like,
they just
George, it's lunchtime. What are you doing? Yeah.
Yeah,
that worked.
Oh, man.
But yeah, Tandy Newton's beautiful. Okay, and moving on.
I mean, I was going to make the same point about Salma Hayek, but again, it's, you know, as like a semi-ginger white person myself, we don't age well.
Not very well. But
here's the thing. You can either look your age or you can look like a weird freak who's not any age. And I don't know. I think you choose looking your age over like being the, you know, mid-40s person with a catcher's mitt face like that every person with a lot of plastic surgery looks like, you know?
Yeah. I do think, though, that like what ends up happening is some people just don't have as good plastic surgeons. And then they're like, well, we kind of mangled it.
Or they get their face done too early, like when you buy a computer too early.
Yeah.
Figured out all the bugs.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's like people get the PS5 immediately, and it's like, bro, that shit is going to fucking look weird.
Poor Lindsay Lohan's walking around with a Zune on her shoulders all the time. Yeah, you did it. You fucked up. You went
an iMac.
Yeah, you fucked up, dude.
There's so many updates to that face that you haven't been to yet.
You got to get all the software updates.
I think every show should have Helena Bonham Carter in it, though.
Oh yeah,
I do like her. I she's so good in The Queen that I remembered why I liked her to begin with, because there was like for a while there I was like, oh, if there's one person I'd love to never see again, it's fucking Helena Bonham Carter.
It's because Tim Burton kept putting her in like an increasingly elaborate series of headdresses
all the time.
Like, can we just let her have her like real hair for once?
She's so good.
Yeah, she just basically Tim Burton saw Fight Club and said, I'm gonna try to make her Fight Club in everything, and it ruined it because I was just like, no, that's not, she can do a bunch of other shit and she's so good in The Crown.
That
I kind of, I mean, I feel like any actor, like, because there's some actors that are just good in everything, but once you see them too many times, it's a little, it takes the shine off of it a little bit.
Yeah, like Paco, yeah, like, true. You know, he's so good in everything, and then you're like, you know.
You get bored. You get bored of Paco because you're like, he's too good in everything.
Oh, Paco. Overused. We have not talked about this. Paco. Paco did a road work with Dustin Diamond, right? So he has a Screech.
R.I.P.
He knows Screech. Yeah.
Somehow we managed not to bring that up.
No, please tell me about that. All I remember of Dustin Diamond was like when Howard Stern fans like paid off his mortgage and then he couldn't even like show up to the stand up gigs they booked for him.
Really? That happened?
Yeah.
Oh. That makes sense. I like Dustin a lot. He was a very smart cat, very nice. We spent a lot. I was with him for 3 weeks on the road. We bonded over bass playing and Zappa and partying. So this was like I had just gotten out of a relationship. He was single, so we had a lot of fun. And one night he was like, "Do you want to have? Do you want a party in Reno?" And I was like, "When Dustin Diamond asks you if you want a party in Reno, you just fucking say yes."
Yeah, you always say yes, dude.
And circus. Answer. Yeah,
dude. Yeah, there is no other answer to it. But man, people
were you like, "I'm so excited."
So were you
so scared?
Were you like in the closet when he made that weird Dirty Sanchez sex video?
Oh man, no. I feel horrible for him. It's like when I found out he died, it was sad because first I was like, oh, this again, like another like rumor about his death. Because I think he's like one of a handful of people who just randomly it'll be like, this dude's dead, and they have to be like, I'm not dead. and this time he was dead, and I was like, fuck. And to find out that he just died of this like really rare, rapid form of cancer, and you're just like, God, I feel a weird kinship with Screech, the character, mostly because I look like Screech, and I've been called Screech a lot. Black people call me Screech for years until Harry Potter came out, and then black people started calling me Harry Potter. Which is
nobody has the most on point roast than black people.
Oh, they're always dead on. But for me, it was Screech for my whole life. Then it was Harry Potter for a bit. And like, I always felt bad for Screech because Screech to me was always this character who was like his entire role. It wasn't he's a nerd and Zach Morris is a cool guy. And the cool guy is always like kicking the nerd's ass. You know, it wasn't like a Revenge of the Nerds thing or like a Freaks and Geeks thing or anything like that. It was the fact that they were best friends. It was an entire relationship based on gaslighting of this fucking nerd where he's like, oh, you're my best friend, but treats him like shit the whole time. And every time like something goes wrong for Zach, somehow Screech bears the brunt of it. And I always also like in fifth grade or something was the first time I learned about like Nazis and stuff like that. And there was like, we had like a lesson about like Nazis and they talked about like, you know, Aryans were supposed to be this and Jews were supposed to be this and the Aryans hated the Jews. And then they like showed like, it was like a cartoons and whatnot. And I was like, that's fucking Zach Morris and Screech.
Hitler,
that's
youth,
what that is.
And yeah.
That's exactly the relationship. That is Zach Morris and that is Screech. And Zach always treats him like shit and fucking he's always the problem. And like, and then like Screech will do something good and he still gets treated like shit. Lisa Turtle wants nothing to do with his ass. And you're like, why, Lisa? Mm-hmm. You know, like fucking, like he's a man and he has needs. And like, treat him with the dignity of a man. You know what I'm saying? So I felt like Screech was treated like shit his whole life. And as a child actor, you know, Dustin Diamond was also treated like shit. As a person was treated like shit. And, you know, Dustin Diamond, there's millions of stories about how the guy's kind of an asshole or has treated people bad. But if I was him, I'd probably fucking be an asshole too. If I was fucking
you know,
look,
chewed up and spit out by the Hollywood fucking system as a child.
As
actor.
A child,
as
a, yeah.
As I've always said, ban child acting. It should not
yes, all
be a
child
thing.
Acting should just be Andy Serkis in a ball suit, and he's just, you do CG and make that a child.
It's like, every child is like on its hands and knees like a monkey.
Yeah, I mean that's fine. I'd be okay with that. It's like you can see the acting in the eyes. Like I'm okay with that. I just like I can't stand. Like knowing that these kids are just clearly being abused.
What if Nicole like, Kidman had been Andy Serkis in a costume this whole time?
I'd be
like,
happy
just
with that
acting
too.
With the eyes, only the eyes acting.
Andy Serkis just replaces all women over 60 and all men under 20.
That guy works a lot, yeah.
Yeah, that guy works a lot, dude. Andy Serkis is everything. No, but yeah, it just made me sad because I was like, this guy was treated like shit his whole life and then he died. And,
yeah.
And I'm like, this dude needs, like, spiritual revenge on America. You know what I mean? Like, America got to pay for
I
what
think
they
this might be it. Is this yeah. not what's happening right now?
I mean, this is what's happening. And I'm yeah. glad that he lived long enough to watch, you know, the end of the world. But I am also, like, I'm bummed for him because, mm-hmm. yeah, I always felt a kinship. I am Screech. You know, that
just
would be my card.
Just Sweet Screech. That is your T-shirt.
At the end of, in and of itself. He would have been like, hi, Screech. Or he would have right. just punched me in the face and people would have been like, oh, it's Screech.
Yeah. I can't get over the fact that you found out about Nazis at 12 years old. That's what I'm still like.
I had heard about Nazis. I knew that of their existence. Obviously, everyone knew about Nazis and whatnot, but I'd never seen the specifics of the race theory before.
It was like in a health class or something?
I know it was like, you know, it was like my teacher and I think it was just a segment. I think it was when we were reading.
You're going to be having a lot of feelings.
It was when we were reading Diary of Anne Frank. And okay. so there was an explanation of the race science attached to it. And they're like, here's a picture of the Aryans and here's a picture of the Jews. And
I think
like,
people are basically good, except for Screech, who is such a nerd. And he keeps trying to fuck me. And
yeah. Yeah, is what's the name of the guy? Is it Philip? What's the name of the guy who's Peter? Screech is basically just Peter from the Diary of Anne Frank, just trying to fuck Anne. You guys read? All right, let's
I remember the character.
Was there a problem with my school if they never made me read that?
No, there's no problem.
Okay, okay. Just checking.
There should be. You don't have to read it now because there's going to be a Ryan Murphy show. where Anne Frank is played by Jim Parsons.
No child actors. Just, no child actors. Yeah.
It's just going to be called Hyde.
Speaking of aging, I did want to grab a segue somewhere in here to talk about Some Kind of Heaven, which is something we all watched, and that was
we didn't all watch it.
We
did
all watch it. It's Matt's great though.
Trash.
It's awesome.
I think we love this movie.
I think. I mean, I just got through Sundance, and I still think that's the best movie I've seen this year.
God mm-hmm. damn it! What is Some Kind of Heaven?
It's about an old folks' retirement community in Florida.
It's
and the characters within.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, you have Some Kind of Heaven and you have Some Kind of Monster, and they're both about dysfunctional white people that can't get along with each other.
I need therapy.
And they're all aging.
God, I wish dead. James Hetfield was in The Villages. Just him and Lars being like neighbors that like argue with each other all the time.
Oh, yeah. Man, my dad was a tennis pro, man.
Burn it. Delete it. Delete the file. Yeah.
Lars is sitting there just being like, you guys ever heard of Napster?
That is going to be The Villages in
Napster
like 20 years.
Yeah.
If The Villages was in Marin, mm-hmm.
oh.
what would happen.
So it's in Florida. There's got to be a Marin version of it.
I think it is Marin. I think that's what Marin mm-hmm. is. It's just basically a white person retirement community. I don't know who, like, I thought it was awesome.
So Some Kind of Heaven is about The Villages.
Yeah. Do you know about The Villages, Matt?
I know about The Villages. Okay. The Villages is where all the, there's a lot of Trump voters in The Villages. And there was a big snafu over the small amount of what do you call it, like Biden supporters who were closeted.
Oh yeah, wasn't there like adorable. A daily podcast about it? Or there must have been a New York Times article about
I listened to the Daily with Michael Barbaro, assuming okay. Culture.
New York Times is like a co-producer on this film somehow.
That makes sense.
It's all shot in 2019 though, so it's like, you know, it didn't really get too political. And
like based on the pedigree of it, like I thought it was going to be something that I wouldn't like, you know, like this, like it seemed like it was going to be, you know, very sort of serious and New York Timesy. And then it wasn't at all. Like I just the look of it, like the way it was shot, like everything these days kind of looks drab and shitty. One Night in Miami. But like you turn on Some Kind of Heaven and like immediately you're into it just based on how it looks, or at least I was.
Yeah, it looks like commercial.
It reminded me of like an Errol Morris documentary, you know? It was shot in a very similar style, and there was I like this. I feel like there's now a trend back to where there's not a lot of information on the screen, which is what I love. It used to, like my favorite time period of the documentary films was like you'd get a lower third maybe text where it's just like it'd say like Miami, Bill, or something, you know? But then it got to like where they're filling up as much real estate on the screen as possible with information. But this doc almost had none. It was awesome.
Yeah. It just had some of the best characters that you could ever conceive. There's this
fucking Dennis, dude.
Dennis. I was going to talk about Dennis because it's crazy that you get a character like Dennis in a documentary and he's not necessarily even, I mean, I think he's the best character, but like you could at least have an argument about whether he or, whatever Barbara? the guy who's just tripping balls all the time.
Oh yeah, Reggie.
Reggie, yeah.
Love the Reg. Love they seem like they were both in Fleetwood Mac at some point. <to me>.
Yeah.
Reggie. I don't. Reggie's a conundrum, dude. I don't quite get what the fuck was happening with Reggie. At some point, he said he lived from a car accident, and now he's God.
Right. Yeah.
There were things I wasn't quite sure, and Reggie's wife is a fucking saint. That much I do know.
Yeah, and yeah, for
Reggie,
sure.
At one point, you know, proved that he is a reincarnated God by hitting himself in the head with a rock.
Yes. What? Yeah. Matt, you need to watch this.
I really do need to watch this.
It's something else. Yeah, Reggie. And
does
then,
he live?
No, he's hitting himself in the rock for fun. Yeah,
he lives, and then he goes to court, and he just has like the if there is like if there's a through line of this movie, it's just like the absurd confidence of older white men.
And
like Reggie is just, he just seems like he's lived his entire life in like a bubble where he can do like anything he wants, and he will always people all around him will always make excuses to continue his delusion.
Well, same with Dennis.
Right.
It's the same thing with Dennis. It's same. Well, the takeaway from this documentary is like, oh, these older white dudes kind of fucking suck, and they're surrounded by women who have to take care of them like they're their fucking mother, you know? Yeah. Like, my heart went out to Barbara. I loved Barbara.
Yeah, she's great.
Like, yeah, she was. At first, I was like, oh, no, what's going to happen to Babs here? I felt like they were setting her up, but then it was all good, and I was very happy.
Well, they set her up to fall in love with the Jimmy, the parrot head, which was disappointing because, like, right off the bat, you're like, all right, well, this guy's a golf cart salesman. Like, obviously, he cannot.
He's a player.
Yeah, he can't turn off, like, the salesman schmooze, and she's not. It's like, you know, when every guy falls in love with, like, the bartender or the waitress, and it's like, no, man, it's their job to flirt with you.
Right.
I feel like,
dude, I think the stripper likes me.
Yeah,
pretty sure.
Sometimes the stripper does like you.
Do you feel like it sort of feels like a mockumentary, and it's cut as a, it's basically cut as a comedy, right? This is one of those documentaries that has all, it's all comic editing. Like, it's a lot of the Dennis scenes particularly, but it's like both sad. It's like the dramedy mockumentary, because it's like, it's funny and sad at the same time,
right.
Most
like
of it.
The
yeah.
beauty of Dennis is like, you kind of, like, he's such a tragic character that you, there are times when you like can't help but like kind of want to root for him, but also he's like clearly such a terrible person who's like, all of the bad things that are happening to him are like completely self-created.
Yes, yes, for sure. Yeah.
But he's also what, 86, and he like
he's like
lives
81, and then like
81.
Were you surprised that he, when he's like, you're 81, you're still lying to your mom about what you're doing?
The fact that he has
he
a
has
mom.
A mom that he can call, and yeah, she picks part, up the phone.
That part made no fucking sense. I was so, I'm like, he must have a friend he calls mom or something. Like, what the fuck? And then he's like, I'll call you in a couple weeks. I'm like, she must be 100.
Yeah, she's like 100.
Like, wait, how old do you have to be to start living in the villages?
55.
That's pretty young.
That's pretty yeah. young. Yeah, there's some people, like, I don't think Barbara is really that old in the scheme of things. She doesn't yeah. seem like super
well,
old.
I would
I'm
love
like,
to live in the villages.
Like, Mark Maron could yeah. probably live in the villages. Like, I, in
the yeah. he would fit in really well, it sounds like.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I don't like tennis too much, but... He'd open up a cafe called Boomer Lives that nobody would come into. Yeah.
Every night he would be like, lock the gates!
That's good. I don't know, man. I like this documentary a lot. I was really happy they didn't spend a lot of time on like the creation of the villages. Nobody cares.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like it's really about the people that live there. I was just wondering like why would Dennis of all people seems like the kind of guy who would not say yes to this, you know,
to being in the film? Oh.
Yeah. Unless they gave him some cash or something.
Oh,
no.
Well, I'm sure. Well, first of all, I'm sure they probably gave him some cash. And second of all, I don't know. He seems like he completely lacks the self-awareness to realize how bad he's coming off like in any situation.
Yeah. Is he like the oldest fuckboy? The oldest fuckboy, the world's oldest fuckboy.
Matt, I know you haven't seen it, but I think like you would appreciate this because he's basically... He's like every shady like club promoter, like, yeah, you know, sometimes I DJ, sometimes like I was like, he talks about how he was a handyman for the Stars and the names he drops like could not be more perfect.
One of the Smothers Brothers.
He name drops the Smothers Brothers, Colonel Tom Parker, and I forget the other one that he names drops. It's just like you couldn't name drop more perfect people. And then he uses that to like try to pick up women at pools.
Nice.
And yeah. One woman that he tries to pick up where he's name dropping Tom Parker and one of the Smothers Brothers. The great thing about this documentary is that like certain old people just have lost the capacity to suffer fools.
Yeah. Right, right. There's no filter.
She just, her response is, I don't care.
Yeah. It's perfect. And then it's like cut. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, especially older women are just like, Jesus Christ, who fucking cares?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, especially imagine having to have a husband for fucking 50 years, you know, and then right. they die and then being like, oh, I'm never doing that again, you know?
Or they turn into Reggie, who is another guy who, the other favorite character is just like this guy who's been married to his wife for 47 years, I think, and she talks about how like, oh yeah, he was much more conventional when we married. And then they like, they cut that with clips of him doing some sort of hallucinogens, I assume, that they never mentioned, but he's like, he has his shirt off and he's just driving through the sprinklers on the golf course early in the morning, like with his shirt off, like driving through.
He's clearly living a Burning Man. He's like having his own Burning Man throughout.
No, that
this
is living the
village.
Dream, dude.
Clearly just tripping absolute balls, and that's like his job now, and it's wonderful.
That's amazing. Good for him. That's how I want to go out. I just want to do something with my life first, though. You know what I mean? Like before I can like retire and be someone who does shrooms on the golf course. I just want to do. I want to do one cool thing and be like, all right, I'm done. You know, because this is all just this podcast, this entire experience of life is just leading up to me being able to retire in the villages and do shrooms on a golf course. You know what I mean?
It's weird because it's critical, but it's also like it does make the villages look kind of badass.
I mean, it sounds like fun. It's a built-in community, right? Like you move into drama.
Yeah, it's like college for old people. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. They make the point that it's like a college dorm. And it seems exactly like that.
Here's a weird thing. It was made by a guy who was like, I think like he was like 22 when he started working on it. He was like in like Harvard film school, this guy Lance Oppenheim. And so this is like his first feature film. And he's she's from Florida. So I think he kind of knew about this place already. Yeah.
Yeah. So funny thing about that, like I saw Josh Oppenheim. And when I turned on the movie, I told my wife, I was like,
My wife.
There you go. I told my wife, I was like, I really like this filmmaker. And then I played it, and then I looked him up, and I realized that I had him confused with Lance Oppenheimer. Or sorry, Josh Opp. No, wait. The guy who did Act of Killing and The Sound of Silence, which are very,
very different,
very different, very good, but very, very different movies than Some Kind of Heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is I originally...
But I watched the whole thing thinking I was watching a movie
by directed... the guy who made Act of Killing.
I was like, fuck,
there are
man, this...
dramatic reenactments. There is like acting happening in this.
I was like, man, this guy's got range. Jesus.
They should make a movie about that secret village where all the Munchkins lived.
Oh, after. Yeah, that would be amazing.
You know, I would see that.
Do you know about that?
There was a... There was a documentary about one of those dwarf villages in China from a few years back where it's kind of the same thing. It's like all these, it's basically like the village for dwarfs, but then like they have to perform for tourists every now and then. And it's kind of like, it's very similar in a weird way to Some Kind of Heaven. I forget what it's called. It's great.
I know that, is it called, Big Little People, Big China.
Oh man!
I'm sorry.
It's called Little Get Togethers.
Is it really?
No.
Oh, it's okay. Called it's called Kingdom of the Little People.
Okay,
that's pretty good.
Right.
Oh but wait, that, no, that's the actual theme park. Sorry, there's a documentary about that, but yeah.
Matt, are you talking about the Munchkins from Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, the Munchkins from the Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. Like, apparently they all moved into a secret Munchkin village that, like, I don't know. This is one of those, like, rumors that I grew up hearing in L.A. And they're like, no, dude, it's just, like, in Long Beach. You just go to Long Beach and, like, just ask around and they'll take you to the midget place. Or, like, the Munchkin place. And I was like, it sounds cool. And like, yeah, it's a whole little world. And then as you, like, grow up, you know, you kind of go like, I don't actually think that's all that interesting. It's just like the houses are houses. But in your head as a kid, you're like, oh, I bet it looks like Munchkin Land, which is just super offensive to immediately assume that like, no. Little people are more comfortable living in Munchkin Land. They want there to be giant candy flowers and, you know, a yellow brick road as opposed to like just being
it's cultural appropriation.
People.
Yeah.
Right.
It's Munchkins. Called Dwarves Kingdom. Sorry. It came out in 2014.
I was like, going to say, like, maybe that's what The Little Things should have been, that documentary about the Munchkins, instead of a serial killer movie.
I still haven't seen that Werner Herzog movie that's...
Oh, yeah.
What is that one called? It's like set, like, all in... It's like Little People, Big... I don't know.
Tiptoes?
Oh, yeah, always smart...
It's definitely not Tiptoes.
Even Dwarves Started Small, is that it?
Yeah, I've not seen that either, that's the Herzog one, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't never even heard of it.
Does he wait? Does
we're
he
really showing
it?
Our ass as a documentary podcast? We have not seen
if
this.
They narrate, if he narrates it, I am in. I want to hear him be like,
the plot is dwarves can find
little people.
When I look into the eyes of
but it's not a documentary.
Down the street,
it's not a documentary.
Everywhere,
right,
everywhere I go, there are little men with little souls, but big brains.
The
they
synopsis.
Are more horny than a regular man.
I want to pump you up.
Most regular men only fornicate 2 to 3 times a week. I found in this Munchkin village that they fornicated 3 to 4 times a day in mass dwarf orgies, where everyone with sinewy flesh banging against each other.
The sexual stamina of the dwarfs is something that I've never witnessed.
People often think that because they are dwarf, that they must have small genitalia. But on the contrary, the genitalia is massive, like watching a baby holding an apple. His arm. Anyways, I want to see that movie.
Can I read you the plot synopsis?
I had sex with one.
Oh, you did?
I had
sex dwarf, isn't it nice?
I had sex with a single dwarf just to see what it felt like. Rather than reaching the cervix, I found the vagina to be a black hole. A hole from which there was no escape. As if the mass of a dwarf a dwarf's density.
A dwarf star. Oh my god. We, like are we are canceled. We are canceled.
What about their eyes?
Oh, the eyes. Their eyes are constantly in a state of rage. Rage at a bigger world that did not make room for them. A world that is a world in which shelves are too high to reach, where elevator buttons go up too high, where rides can't be rid because of the height. An unfair world. Which is why they decided to make their own world. A world in which elevators only went to the third floor. A world in which rides were for everyone.
They can only go to the third floor.
A fair dwarf world.
A world where we tell them about Nazis when they're 12 years old.
Yes, we tell them earlier about the Nazis so that they know about what this world has in store for them. And when they die, they will meet a midget god.
And we didn't experiment world, where we took a dwarf and we didn't tell him about the Nazis until he was 12 years old. Just when I look into the eyes of a 12-year-old dwarf and tell him about the Nazis, I see Nazis.
I love the transcript of this episode. Will be a lot of Nazi talk and a lot of the D word.
Nazi dwarfs from hell.
Oh, man. That's anyways, a trauma movie.
I have to go. Flap, flap, flap.
Oh, he's leaving. Oh, wow.
He Bert has Herzog. Leathery bat wings.
Yeah,
he's Werner Herzog wings. Has a primitive flying machine. Sorry, can I read the synopsis?
Yes, read the synopsis, yes. Please.
Dwarves confined in an institution on a remote island rebel against the guards and director, also dwarves, in a display of mayhem. They gleefully break windows and dishes, abandon a running truck to drive itself in circles, engineer food fights and cockfights, set fire to pots of flowers, kill a large pig, torment some blind dwarfs, and perform a mock crucifixion of a monkey.
What? Whoa.
So it's not a documentary. Okay. No. Got. That was like my mistake. Yeah.
A mock crucifixion.
Of a monkey?
Why don't they just do it? Pussies. I'd do it.
Hell yeah.
Isn't in the Philippines, don't people still, there's like people get straight up really crucified in the Philippines. Do you know about this?
It was really? Made in the Canary Islands. Mm.
This film was, yeah.
After these two accidents, Herzog promised the actors that if they made it through the rest of filming without any more injuries, he would jump into a cactus patch and allow the actors to film him doing so. The film was finished without any further injuries, and the director made good his promise and dived into the cacti.
Werner Herzog is like proto Jackass. I just realized this. Like, because yeah. He like, I'll eat a shoe. You want me to eat a shoe? I'll eat a shoe. You want me to jump in a cactus patch? I'll jump in.
I put a Hot Wheelers race car up my rectum just to see if I could feel again.
All right.
Chris Burden and Werner Herzog, proto Jackass. That's my take. You know what? Yeah. Chris Burden, the guy who like shot himself in the arm in grad school. It's like art project.
That was his art project?
Yeah, he got shot in the arm, yeah.
That's why I can't fuck with art.
Yeah.
I'm done with it.
Art
sucks.
Dude, what other documentaries have you guys seen recently?
Well, the one I did watch was Tiger.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Believe we all did watch Tiger. And we have talked about this before, at least somewhat. Well, no, we actually have not talked about the documentary itself. We've talked about Tiger Woods and our feelings about that.
Everybody's got takes on Tiger, and I'm curious what you documentary lovers, experts, thought of it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I thought it's phenomenal. Piece of filmmaking, fuck, it's pretty insanely well made, and it lays out like some great especially biopic documentaries do. It lays it out, the timeline, extremely well. And the thing I don't like is the second half
salacious skip, you know, the needle coming off the record bullshit where the hot woman sits down and goes, now what did you want me to talk about? And
yeah, there's like, a little much. Yeah. Especially with that fucking...
I mean, they had to go into it. The tease of it was a bit much.
They had to.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the tease I didn't like. I mean, of course they had to talk about it, but like it was just... That was, from what, 8 hours or whatever of film? Mm-hmm. That's the only bit I could really like pick apart because it was phenomenally well made.
Okay, so my question, and I brought this up with Matt, but... like, I was not that interested necessarily in the sex stuff. I mean, obviously, you have to cover it. But what I was interested in was that, like, in 2017, he gets pulled over for a DUI, and he has 5 drugs in his system, 2 of them opiates, 1 of them
like benzos
Xanax. Yeah, he has 2 opiates, a benzo, like a muscle relaxer, and, like, something else. And so, and then, like, when he makes his, like, quote-unquote triumphant return... to golf, they're like, he's been out for 305 days, and you're like,
yeah,
that's not even a year, and he made his return I don't know, 4 months after that DUI arrest. And like, I'm a golfer and I follow golf, so like, to me, when his career went completely downhill and then he got caught in this DUI, like, my whole question was like, oh, is this like an opiate addiction? And it very much seems like there's an opiate addiction angle here. And, and you know, you have to make a lot of sacrifices to the subject in these kind of sports documentaries, but like, they really didn't go into that.
They completely papered over it, or they didn't completely paper over it, but it was almost like they didn't have enough to go on to make it about him battling a drug addiction, which it is clear he was.
Mm-hmm.
But they, yeah. And I think in order to kind of wrap it up in a bow, and this is my biggest problem with it, in order to wrap it up in a bow, they were like, well, it's going to end, of course, with him coming back and winning that tournament.
Which was incredible. But,
so yeah, very cool. But it's also like, is he sober now is the question I had. And it's not really answered. I assume so, because I think you need to be, at the very least, not abusing these drugs in order to get to the point where you're winning. But I could be wrong. I don't know about golf.
Well, I mean, the thing that's interesting to me is, or the thing that felt like a flaw in the documentary to me, is that they're sort of talking out of both sides of their mouth, where they're sort of assigning his decline in golf to all the back surgeries that he had, like, oh, you know, and they're and they're sort of assigning the reason for the back surgeries to, one, the fact that, you know, he has like this violent swing or whatever, and he's been doing this so long, and two, to the fact that he did all these like weird Navy SEAL military trainings,
right?
So they're like claiming that that's was his the reason for his decline in golf, but then, you know, he won the fucking 2019 Masters, so I don't know how you square those things without addressing the addiction part of it.
Yeah, I feel like the way that they kind of tried to square it is with consistently being like, don't ever count Tiger out. And I do think it is important to note that, like, golfers, for the most part, it seems like age out way later than any other athletes. Like, this is not like they kind of treated his back injuries and whatnot as kind of like as if he were these are sports injuries that like a football player would have or a basketball player or a baseball player. And it's like, yeah, but this is it's not these aren't career ending injuries for golfers. Like they are career stifling injuries. They definitely make things harder. You're not going to be as good as you were, but they don't really. Like they kind of conflate these injuries with like what it would mean for any other like sports figure. And so part of me was like, yeah, like Jack Nicklaus was probably winning Masters when he was in his 60s or some right?
No one's ever won a major over the age of 50, but
okay, yeah, but 50 is old as shit in sports years.
No,
in
Jack Nicklaus won when he was dead. 46, I believe. Like the oldest winners, I'm just looking them up. Like there's 48, Yeah, Jack Nicklaus won the Masters at 46.
Yeah,
like a lot of people in their 40s, mid 40s, late 40s.
I mean, again, my point being mostly that like these are obviously bad injuries, but I was kind of getting the feeling of like, you know, when they're like, don't count Tiger out. It's like, well, yeah, he's not dead yet, so don't count him out.
Do you, do you feel like so he had both this opiate addiction and like a sex and love addiction?
Yeah,
and they don't
yeah.
really tie those together very much.
They don't. They make it separate. They make it very much so about his sex and love addiction and not about his drug addiction. And it was eye-opening because this was the first time I was like, oh, it was a sex addiction. Because
for
years,
sure.
I was like, is it a sex addiction or is he a professional athlete who can fuck whoever he wants? And so I kind of thought it was more along that. But then when you find out about the way he kind of like treated his mistresses, which was like, you know, kind of like a emotional fuckboy type dude. Someone who's like, you're the only one I could talk to and stuff like that. It's like, oh, you don't have to do all that.
Let me fly
like,
you to Australia so you can be in my hotel.
Like he's treating it like a nerd made a wish on a magic lamp and was like, I want to fuck whoever I want. But they never learned that like, oh, you don't even have to like, you don't have to lie. Like they'll fuck you either way, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but instead he's like treats them all like therapists. Cause I think he thinks they want that. Like, that's the feeling I got was like, oh, the only way I can get this girl is if I say I'm in love with her, basically.
His,
like, no, you don't have to do that.
Yeah, the fact that his parents like basically made him break up with his first girlfriend through a letter, that had to have like warped all his other relationships subsequently.
Yeah, this letter is to inform you. Oh. I mean, when she read that part, I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, no, that was way worse than I thought it was going to be.
I read some reviews where they criticized the movie for putting that in there, and I'm like, no, that was like kind of one of the most important parts of it, I thought.
Like knowing the level of control that his parents had over every aspect of his life, including like his personal like love life as an adult, like that is that's fucking weird. And also it just shows to me that like his parents, because the reason they did that was not because like, oh, she's not the right person for you, is because they're like, no, your career, you're supposed to be the fucking you know, the black savior of golf, and if you get her pregnant you'll ruin that. Like, they did it for his brand and his image.
Well,
and I was like,
also,
that's fucked up.
It's presupposing that he can't have a baby and a career as well. Like, because his dad was coming from that viewpoint where you can't have them both. It's like,
which is like, you know, fair, you know, if you're not the dad, like if you're, you know, I mean, that's the thing. Like, most parents, I think, care less about the career choice and more about like what's good for the kid. But in this case, it was like, it's clear that the dad is like, this was his little project, you know, making Tiger into Tiger.
I know the filmmakers can't really control this because I'm sure she didn't want to participate. But I really want to know a lot more about Elin because
she seems awesome.
She seems kind of badass. She was like,
she seems like the coolest woman.
Like, she immediately like went to like grad school or whatever, and then Tiger pulled his shit, and she would just was immediately like, nope, I'm done with this.
Yeah, bye. Like, that is badass. And it's funny too, because, you know, she definitely made that a condition of the marriage a little bit, where she was just like, I don't even know if I want to like be with you because of the fact that like you're such
you're
a
famous.
Public famous person. And like, she meant that shit, because as soon as he like fucking it came out that he was doing all this shit, she was just like, fuck you. Did they get into this thing? I remember hearing that when that accident happened, that she like beat the car with a club. That's what I thought
they
happened.
They kind of referenced that, yeah.
But they didn't say it.
They didn't say it. Yeah.
Because no one knows yet. I mean, that, like, this guy is like one of the most protected, like personally protected public figures since, you know, he was 2. So,
yeah.
Like, his parents were protecting his image while he was still in middle school. So,
right.
I mean, it makes sense that we wouldn't know all that. But, like, you just look at the car and you're like, okay, he hit a tree. Why is, like, the back window broken? You know, like, there's just weird shit that went in. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. And why did when he hit the tree, someone wrote asshole and lipstick on the bumper?
Yeah.
That's strange.
Do you feel like it's like, if this happened more recently than 2010, it's like, I mean, like all the relationships with the women, he probably would have been looked on as like someone who emotionally manipulated people, but I don't think it would. Would it still be as big of a deal? I feel like he could just say it's my personal life or whatever, and just
yeah.
Not
I
let
think
people
it
in.
Still would have been a big if it had happened during like the Me Too era for mm-hmm. sure. It would have been like the discourse would have been never ending about like how it's not just about like people who are sexually assaulting people. Like mm-hmm. manipulation is also abuse and blah mm-hmm. blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But I actually look at it as like the after the Me Too era. Looking at his crimes or whatever you want to call them, looking at like his fall from grace, you kind of just go like, it's who cares?
Yeah, it's not criminal. Yeah,
it's not
criminal
like,
at all.
I mean, and what he did, you know, with like leading girls on and whatnot, it's like it's fucked up, but it's also like, you know, I don't need to know about it. Like, it doesn't.
Right.
It doesn't
we
really...
didn't need to know any of
yeah,
this stuff.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I am sorry for anyone who was like, he said he was in love with me, but I'm also like, well, he's also like married, like, and famous and whatnot. Yeah. And like, I don't know. Part of you needs to like have your guard up a little bit and be like, mm-hmm. I think this guy is lying to me, you know? So I do kind of feel like after like seeing all of the atrocious like allegations and like proven. Like you know, instances of sexual assault done by like famous people, I'm just like, Tiger Woods just like to fuck. Like he was like buying lots of ladies so he could put his dick in one by one by one by one because he saw it in porn. And I'm like, I get it, dude.
So
you got
so
the money.
Someone in the film kind of says the mistake he made was just apologizing publicly, right? Like I forgot
yes.
who was that his dad's friend who said that. Or someone. Someone
yeah, it
said
was.
That, yeah.
Yeah, it was like his. It was his dad's. Wasn't his dad's friend. It was another guy.
I did like the how much scorn that they heaped on the like director of the Masters who like.
Oh yeah, Billy Payne. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, who did that press conference where he was like, "Tiger has let us all down," and now and I'm glad they didn't let that guy off the hook because I was thinking the yeah. same thing. I was like,
Brian Gumbel. Yeah,
buddy, who the
quote.
Fuck are you? Like, he
yeah,
made
who the
golf
fuck?
A thousand times more popular. Eat shit. Like, he doesn't owe you anything.
Yeah. Yeah,
with,
exactly.
With your jowls. I think that, from the Bill Burr bit where he's talking about like people who have never been put in the position of having pussy thrown at them, just being like, oh, totally reprehensible behavior with their jowls. Just like, it is
jowl
disgusting
flapping.
For these people to be like, I just can't believe how much you let us down. And I'm just like, yeah, fuck you. You know
there is
you
a
get.
Weird thing with golf where, I don't know, it's like, it's held up as, you know, sort of like this gentleman's game, even still, because like there's this guy, Patrick Reed, who keeps getting in trouble for like being a cheater. Like he keeps getting in trouble for like, you know, adjusting his lie in tournaments and shit. And man, he gets heckled so much for that, which I guess is great. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I feel like in any other sport, it's like, yeah, who cares? Like, he's trying to get away with shit. Like, that's kind of what athletes do to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole different take on golfers. I mean, when Tiger Woods, like, they show him that he's rolling deep with Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan and going to clubs, it's like, yeah. Of course, that's what's going to happen. That's why you hang out with Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley.
You just wish he had listened to some of the advice that they gave him, you know? And
yeah.
Like, the advice is just like, hey, just, you know, stop being weird, dude. And just like, and just fuck. Just fuck. And
yo, Urkel, stop being weird.
Yeah, straight up.
Like, I mean, I also feel
there's
that
never
way.
Been a more Urkel-ass motherfucker than Tiger Woods.
yeah, for sure.
It's like literally Tiger Woods is Stefan. And like, just never got over not being Urkel anymore. And is just lying to Laura.
Yeah. I mean, I say that feeling sort of the same way about Barry Bonds.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Barry Bonds is like, Stefan.
They keep, well, no, not that he's Stefan, just that he keeps being raked over the coals for being a cheater, and it's kind of like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He played in a time when everyone was cheat. And by the way, like, they've always cheated in baseball. Like, I I read Ball 4. It's a great book. It's written by, like, a guy who was a pitcher in, like, the 60s and 70s. And, dude, they were doing all kinds of speed and shit back. Like, they've been doing drugs forever. And so, like, Barry Bonds played when everybody was doing steroids, and he did steroids, and he was the best at it. He was by far the best at doing steroids. Like, how are you going to deny him his greatness because he played in the era that he played in?
Yeah.
It's entertainment. I mean, it's crazy how people don't seem to get that. Like, there's this veneer between them and the sport that they consider, like, on this pedestal. It's fucking entertainment.
Yeah, and fucking give me the Barry Bonds. Like, when he was hitting 75 home or two home runs or whatever the fuck, like, baseball was so much better then because he got up to bat and he might hit a home run every time. And now I don't even know what baseball players are doing because who gives a fuck about baseball? Like, no one's hitting home runs like that.
Yeah. No, cheating's cool and rad. And
well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about cheating. Like, cheating is what it is. Like, if you get away with it.
Cheating's part of the game.
If you get away with it at the time, like, you got away with it.
You,
like,
got away with it. Yeah. Like, that's, you don't lose the W.
No.
You get the W.
You won.
But you instill an election? Like Biden just stole this election? That's cheating.
Yeah, no, they won. It's the same thing with elections. Let's be real. I mean, fucking 2000 election was straight up stolen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From Nader. Yeah.
Yeah, they still got the W.
Mm-hmm. They got literally got the W
twice, exactly.
Yeah, they keep getting the W, and then the other one gets the W, and, like, everyone's cheating.
Trump was so mad. He's like, I cheated the best I could in 2020, and I still lost.
Yeah.
It doesn't make fucking sense.
No one has ever fucking been worse at cheating than Trump was in 2020. This dude was just like, don't vote, voting's gay. And, like,
this is going to be a great documentary when this happens.
Yeah. And then his people were like, we're not going to vote then. He said it's gay.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I didn't get any votes.
Yeah. And he's like, what the hell happened? And then he's like, well, didn't we have some sort of magic machine?
Yeah.
I didn't want people to vote because it's gay, but I wanted to use our magic machine to win. Like, that dude is, oh, he's not good at cheating.
No.
But Tiger Woods, just to, like, round it off, like, what I liked about the doc was that you kind of get to dissect his brand to the point where you realize that his basic golf persona in general changed, and I didn't notice this change at the time, but it really was, like, there was, like, when it started, it was like, this is the Michael Jordan of golfing and, like, a black icon. And I had totally forgotten that, like, at some point he just did an interview where he's like, I'm not black, I'm, you know, and then he said all of the things, like, what does he call himself?
Kaplan Asian. Yeah.
Kaplan Asian. I was like, Kaplan Asian sounds like a Jewish Asian person. I'm Asian Kaplan.
But, like, people are always asking him to be one thing, but it's like,
right.
It's like, if you ask me, it's like, oh man, like, do you identify, like, as an Italian or, like, as an Armenian? Or I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm all those things. Like, what do you want?
Yeah.
Like,
you're a dude.
Yeah. I'm me. I don't know. What do you want?
Yeah. But what was interesting was seeing, like, the kind of, like, where his dad's hopes for his branding went, and then watching him kind of, like, shirk those. But but in doing his own thing, he really didn't do anything with the brand. It was like, he was like, no, Dad, I'm going my own way. And then he's just like, I'm just the same dork I've always been. You're just like, wait, you have emancipation from your family's branding that they fucking completely, like, shoved into your life, your entire life. And you're like, no, Dad, I'm rebelling. And then he's just like, he does nothing with it. He doesn't decide, like, well, I'm the bad boy of golf.
See, the thing that I think he did wrong was that, like, Jordan never tried to be anything other than the best basketball player in the world. And, like, that was enough. And, like, if Tiger Woods, like, if people had actually focused on Tiger Woods' golf, like, it was a fucking leap forward from how other people were. Like, if you just watch him play golf, not even, like, who he was beating or how much he was winning by, like just watching him hit shots, like he hit golf shots way differently than people ever had before. Like he did shit. Even now, like people don't do the shit that he did where it's just like he had a million different shots that people still don't really have. And like, I think maybe the fact that not as many people play golf or care about that shit, like it wasn't as immediately apparent as it is when Jordan like dunks over a center, that like it, you can't tell exactly what he's doing differently. But
it's hard to tell as a non-golfer. Yeah,
he should have just gambled. He should have been an open gambler. Yeah. It, just do the Jordan thing and just start gambling all your money and just being an asshole to people. It would have, like, I think, because the biggest thing was the where it was that he was so clean cut.
Yeah, the squeaky clean image. Yeah,
the squeaky clean image is why people were like, I can't believe this guy fucks. But it's like it is kind of like I mean, Jordan, he didn't have a squeaky clean image, but he was pretty clean. He was a
he just didn't have an image. He was, you know.
No, his image was the best basketball player in the world who eats Wheaties and also does cartoons, you know? Like it was pretty clean. He's got it's not like today where you have LeBron James and his whole like brand isn't just that he's, you know, bad at basketball, but it's also that he's a bitch. and so he can be both at the same time, you know, where it's like
he's mostly a bitch though.
He's mostly a bitch. But almost he's more of a bitch than he is bad at basketball, but he's also really bad at basketball. And I think everyone knows that. But my point being that he can do kind of like both. He can live in both worlds of being a bitch who sucks. Whereas like Jordan, I think you would only read about like his escapades in the like Chicago sports section, and where they would like, you know, be like, he's gambled millions of dollars and he's kind of an asshole and whatnot. And his whole thing was like, oh, ignore them. They always just write mean things about me. Whereas like Tiger's thing was being completely secret.
Like, you know? Oh, sorry, you guys. I did a bad thing.
I like to come. what I've learned about myself is that when my dick goes in inside the pussy and there's friction against my phallus, and then I like to ejaculate thick ropes into these thoughts. The problem I found is that these hoes ain't loyal.
and go stonks.
Yeah, and go go stonks.
Now I want to see like a Tiger Woods, like Derek Delgadio style show where he just talks like the trauma of when I was so famous that everyone cared about what I did. And then,
I'm glad he's still golfing. And I'm glad the documentary came out, because I'm also like, I think collectively America needs to be like, oh, we fucked up here more than he did.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because it's true. We all were just, can you believe this? This fucking guy, he was fucking so many people. He's not supposed to do that.
He was the driving intoxicated thing.
He was only supposed to fuck one person the whole time, but he fucked four or five. And then I saw the fuck, and I was like, no, but you're nice. Oh, he bad now. I can't believe it. Can you believe? All right.
I do think like driving intoxicated is pretty bad. If like you think you're in California when they pull you over and you're like,
oh yeah, no, he was fucked. He was like that. That was like
that was more harmful than anything he did sexually, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean that is something where it's like, okay, you gotta. I mean, you gotta go to jail. You can't not take him to jail at that point.
I'm
sure that dude was like, really didn't want to take his ass to jail. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but I know that I would feel like, oh, Tiger, I don't want to be the one. Anyways, great documentary, solid B plus in my opinion.
Solid B plus. Yeah.
Solid B plus.
I don't have HBO anymore, so that was the last thing I watched on HBO.
That's all.
I'm done. I'm finished it.
Oh well, I think that counts as a podcast. What do you guys think?
Sweetly.
There it is.
Sweetly.
Hell yeah.
Thanks. Thanks for being on our podcast and us being on your podcast.
Hell yeah, dude.
Thank you and you're welcome.
Thank you and you're welcome. Where can George Chen, where can people find you on the internet?
At George the Chen on Twitter and basically that. Oh, Talkies, I'm doing that again. It's cool. Every first and third Friday, Talkies Comedy on Twitter and Instagram as well. Those are the main things I got. And Subdoc, yeah.
And Subdoc. And Paco Romaine, where can people find you on the internet?
At Paco Romaine, all over the place. Twitter, Instagram, Subdoc. Yeah.
And then listen to Subdoc Podcast. Patreon.com/Frogcast for all the bonus episodes. Frogcast@gmail.com for all your questions, comments, concerns, stories about fucking and sucking and shit. Vince, what is the Google Voice number?
415-275-0030.
Alrighty, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, good night. And good chin.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about SupDoc at supdocpodcast.com, recapping reality since 2015. Our theme song was written by David Siegel. Our show was engineered by Will Scovel. Our associate producer is Nick Coltis. Please donate to the show through our Patreon page, patreon.com/supdocpodcast. And if you want to help us out in any other way, please just share the show with a friend. Join the Doc Talk and check out our hot takes, pictures, and videos on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We're SupDoc Podcast on all those platforms. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. To find out more about my and George's comedy gigs, check out our About Us page on our website. SupDoc is by Doc fans for Doc fans. So if you want to advertise with SupDoc, or if you got a film or opinions, or if you want us to have a certain guest on, please hit us up. We'd love to hear more from you and what you're docking out on. So email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com.